another episode of Her Healthful. It is 5:43 p.m. right now, and I'm so tired. Like, I could go to bed. It's dark out. It's freaking cold. The kind of cold that hits you in your bones, and it's so windy. And I always say the worst part about winter is the wind. I don't mind if it's cold, if there's no wind, because then it doesn't hit you in the face. And then you don't get frustrated. It's just depressing out. So that's why I thought today's episode could be on curing the winter blues and how to overcome seasonal affective disorder. Very fitting for right now. I think it's the advice I need to hear. But before we get into that, I thought we would do some chit-chatty updates, like what I've been liking, disliking, and just a little catch-up. If you've been following me on Instagram, you know that I'm in my dinner party era. In the fall, I started to host, and I'm aiming for once a month this year, and I love going all out. I send invites in the mail that are handwritten and I design them in Procreate, which I'm still trying to learn because it's very confusing, but I like it. I just think there's a very steep learning curve. And I design a menu and curate that, which is also super fun. And of course, the tablescape and the design, colors, floral arrangement, I just find it so fun. And it kind of challenges me in a way that I'm not used to because hosting is so much work. And my first dinner party that I had, it was a fall themed one, and it was great, but I realized I had to get better at the timing of bringing out the courses, which like gave me a vibe of what a restaurant has to go through. And you don't want people to be like having conversations without you. You want to be there as a host and obviously still enjoy the night. So it has got me thinking a lot about planning in advance, what to cut up and saute and all of that prep beforehand that makes such a big difference on the day of. So I'm getting better and better each time. There's always a little bit of stress, but it's the good kind of stress that pushes you. And I love trying new things. And my new thing has been making homemade pasta. I don't know what compelled me to make homemade ravioli for the first time on my own for my first dinner party. And I made enough for 4 people. I'd made it once before with a friend, but I don't know. I like to take these risks and I'm like, it'll work out. I'll learn how to make pasta for the first time, let alone ravioli, which is one of the harder ones because you have to make the filling separately. But it was so good and I'm getting better and better. It's just super fun to try something new and what you're not good at. Like, I'm not trying to be the best pasta maker ever, but I'm loving learning new things and different tips and tricks and obviously different shapes. The pasta maker I got is $50 from Amazon, so it's not that expensive either. And once you get a hang of making the dough and how to get that right, it's so easy. You just have to roll it out, which is so fun working with your hands and saying that like you made this from scratch. There's something just so satisfying about that. So I will keep up with that journey. It's actually one of the pictures on my vision board was like a picture of homemade pasta because I really want to keep at it this year. And I feel like there's so many different creations I can make for my Valentine's Day dinner party, which is in a few weeks. I should say Galentine's, but I'm going to be making heart-shaped ravioli and I'm gonna color them pink, like different hues of pink with beets, and I'm so excited. So hopefully nobody that's going to the dinner party is listening, but if you are, you have the insider scoop. It's going to be so good, and I've obviously never made this before, but I'm just obsessed with ravioli and making it like different colors and shapes because I did a Christmas tree one for the holidays and it turned out delicious. And I'm really excited for the Galentine's Day one. So definitely follow along on my Instagram because I shared everything to stories. And if you want some inspo for your own dinner parties, I've just been kind of winging it. I have a Pinterest board, but for all of them, I pick a theme. The one on Saturday, 2 days from now, is like winter icy princess. So there's a lot of blues in the tablescape and the menu has nothing to do with winter. I just chose like Italian themed. So I'm doing like a few appetizers, like olives with ricotta and this like tomato caprese situation, and then of course a pasta, so a truffle pasta, and ending it with tiramisu, which I didn't make myself. I'm getting that from Italy because I just don't have the bandwidth and time this week to make tiramisu for the first time from scratch. I don't think that would go as well as the ravioli did. But anyways, we can't win them all. It'll still be a fun time. I just like gathering people together and having conversation and food and just doing this during the winter months. has been super therapeutic. I think that's part of why I wanted to do it monthly still, because in the cold months, which realistically in Canada, it lasts until May. So it's something very fun to look forward to. And this wasn't even part of the episode's topic, but it is one of my solutions to the winter blues, is hosting, gathering people together. And even if you're not having an elaborate dinner party, even making dinner with somebody else instead of going out for dinner is just like really creative and really fun. You don't have to spend that much money. You can split the groceries and just make like a wholesome meal together. Speaking of food, which, wow, I spoke for food for 5 minutes. Okay. I wanted to mention that I'm starting to post recipes again on Instagram. And if you have been an OG follower of my page, you know that I was Her Healthful Plate and all I posted was recipes. Like, that is where I started. And then after a while, I think I just like got sick of recipes because I was just pushing them out and I was forcing myself to create, and it really just took the fun out of cooking and baking for me. But now I'm in a place where I have more time after getting my PhD, and I'm just like really motivated to be in the kitchen, and I see other people's video content on recipes and I'm so inspired and would love to just delve more into video content creation for food. Because before, when I was doing recipes, it was only static posts, like reels weren't a thing. So I've been posting like once a week, and I think that's the goal, once, twice max, because I don't want it to be a full recipe page. I just want it to be one facet of the content that I post. So if you were missing the recipes, they are back, and make sure to follow along. I have them all written out in the captions, and I'm going to be doing a variety of things. I just posted a really delicious roasted red pepper soup today, and I've been having it every night for dinner. After I record this, I'm going to go have it with a cozy grilled cheese. You just dip it in. It's so good. Perfect for like a cold night. And yeah, I'm super excited. Also, I don't know if I said this in the last podcast. Forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but I'm gonna be starting a YouTube journey. Can't believe I'm saying those words. And I'm really excited. I just ordered a new memory card because I wanted to start filming this week. And then I realized I have a memory card of 8 gigabytes. That's like literally 30 minutes of footage, like good footage that's higher quality. So I ordered, I think, a 256 or 512 gigabyte memory card, because I just don't want to have to worry about losing space. And vlogs, I feel like, have a lot of footage that is then cut down to be like 15-20 minutes. And I didn't know that memory cards were so much cheaper these days. Like, the 256 gigabyte one was $25. I swear, a few years ago, that would have been at least $50. Maybe I'm just imagining it, but wow, the prices have gone so down. So I was very pleasantly surprised by that. I also got an extra battery pack in case it ever dies. And I know that would be super annoying if it died and you have to recharge it. So we are getting prepped. We're getting motivated. I'm still very scared to start because I feel very, what's the word? Like, I don't know much about the platform of YouTube from a creator side, but I'm so well versed in like Instagram and TikTok. So it'll be very interesting to navigate this. But of course, with any new venture, there's going to be a learning curve. There's going to be a period where I have no idea what I'm doing, and that's okay. We just embrace that. As long as I'm still excited about it, I'm going to be doing it. So watch out for that. I'll definitely post about it, and I'm excited. Okay, I've rambled for 10 minutes, but I thought the beginning of episodes, at least when I'm feeling like it, could be more chatty updates, and we'll see where it takes us. So if it wasn't obvious, today's episode is all on seasonal affective disorder or winter blues and how to overcome that. I unexpectedly already gave some tips with the intro and I was not planning that, but I have some actual research-backed tips and from my own experience that have helped me. So hopefully this will be something to cure your winter blues. Maybe not fully, but maybe something that gives you a little bit of serotonin and maybe a little bit of sunlight, or at least fake sunlight. It's crazy to me that seasonal affective disorder has only recently been classified as a type of depression. Like, it was only in the late 90s where APA actually said that, okay, it's a disorder. Like, yes, people are getting more depressed and sad around the winter months. And you think about that, it's only been like 20-ish years. So I think the research is still new And it must have been something that society as a whole felt, but there wasn't any validation to it in the scientific community. But of course, my first tip is what a lot of people say, and there has been research and studies on this, and it's about mimicking the sunlight and having exposure to that through light therapy. And this literally involves having a light box, some sort of lamp that emits really bright light, and it has to be for at least 30 minutes a day in an angle that's like facing you, like it can't be across the room or something. And you might have heard of like the hatch lamp or other lamps that have that mimicking effect. And of course, you should look into like how bright it is. I think there's like a certain number that it has to hit for it to be actually effective. And I've heard that these lamps change your life in the winter. I don't have one actually, but there is a lot of windows in my place. So I feel like I'm getting a lot of natural light, but again, the days are shorter, so I have been considering investing in one. So if you have any dupes for the hatch lamp, let me know, because it is expensive and I don't know if I want to spend that money. So please slide into my DMs if you have one that works for you. Next tip, and I know not many of us want to hear this, but regularly moving your body, getting exercise is so, so powerful. And in the winter, our bodies are cold. Obviously, we don't want to get up and move because like our muscles are cold. It's so hard to imagine what it would be like to warm them up and then have those endorphins. But it is such a powerful mood lifter, and just like going for a walk or maybe going on a treadmill, it's only gonna make you feel better. And it helps you from feeling lethargic. When I sit all day, especially in the winter, and I don't do anything or don't do any movement, that is, I feel so crappy. And even just like going for a 20-minute walk makes such a difference. And the added benefit is you're also getting vitamin D. So walks are the easiest, but again, they're also not the easiest because it's cold out. So if you'd rather stay inside, I personally have been loving group classes for two reasons. One, I love showing up and not having to think about what to do. If I could use zero brain power in the winter, amazing. Two, at least at my gym, which is Sweat and Tonic, there's a late cancellation fee. So if you cancel or you don't show up, you get charged a great $20. And I'm sorry, that is my motivation. That fee is what gets me out of bed, and I'm forever grateful for it, because if there wasn't a fee, I literally would have missed so many of those classes. And just the thought of me losing $20 because I didn't go to the class or I slept in, it's enough motivation. So group classes are amazing. I find it really hard to just like go to the gym and make myself do a workout that I thought of. YouTube videos are also great, but I think I'm out of that era because I did it way too much during COVID. And if I have the option for a group class, I'm gonna do it. Another great option is doing walks with somebody else. So planning them, texting them, that way you're also catching up with a friend. If you don't have somebody nearby you, then make a phone call during your walk. That's the best way to be efficient with your time, but also make the walk go by faster. Because every time I'm on the phone, I'm like, oh my God, I've been walking for 45 minutes. Like, when did this happen? Whereas if I wasn't and I was just listening to a podcast, I'd only like make it to 20 minutes outside. Of course, bundle up, wear layers, make it so that there's like not that many barriers for you to get outside, and make it more pleasant for yourself. Now, this tip goes hand in hand with the last one, and it's all about your nutrition, what you're eating. And trust me, it is the season of comfort food and takeout. And I say, yes, lean into that. But I went through a period where I remember I was like getting takeout almost every night, just didn't prep that week. And by the end of it, I was like kind of sick of takeout. And I never want to be sick of it. It's like such a joy in my life to have food from other places where I don't have to cook, and it's like trying new things. So I never want to get to that point again. And I have found a love for cooking, or refound my love, because I've always loved it. So I think making cooking easier for you is the key. For example, one thing that I do during the winter months is I get my groceries delivered. I'm sorry, but I live downtown. I'm not walking in this cold and lugging everything. Why don't I just save myself the hassle and order it? I use Voila. It's by Sobeys. Not sponsored, it's what I use, and I got the free delivery pass for I think 3 months, or I've been paying on a monthly basis, and it is so clutch. You choose everything online and then you select the window where it's delivered. It's literally delivered to your door. It's been amazing. And in the summers, I'll go to like farmers markets and I'll walk 30 minutes to like Kensington. I don't mind that in the summer, but in the winter, could not be bothered. And so that really helps me. Also, there's something about seeing everything on a website that you're like not as tempted to grab random items. You just like search up what was on your list in a grocery store, which by the way, it's one of my favorite things, going to a grocery store. So at first when I was considering shopping online for groceries, I was really turned off by it because I was like, what the hell? That's one of my pride and joys. Like, I love roaming through a grocery store. But I realized the love of grocery stores did not outweigh the hate of cold weather. So you have to pick your battles. You can also still make cozy comfort foods at home. Soups are a great way to get your nutrition in, but still have something that is warm and cozy. It's also easy to prep, and when you have it for dinner, you just reheat it. It's not something you have to assemble. So if there was one recommendation I would give for what to make and what to meal prep, it would be some sort of soup or curry or chili. They also freeze well, so when I'm making them, I'll usually double the recipe and freeze half of it. That way I've literally prepped for 2 weeks. Okay, I need to stop talking about food. Next tip is social connection, social interactions. I think we tend to isolate in the winter for good reason, but also that really affects our health. In the summer, it's so easy to go to a patio to just catch up with friends for someone because the weather's fine. You're not going through this blizzard to get somewhere. So I think in the winter, it's important to do low effort socializing. And what I mean by that is something that doesn't feel like a mountain, like it is gonna take so much prep and you have to get ready and then you have to take an Uber. Like, you want to eliminate all the steps in seeing someone. My idea of low effort socializing is having somebody over, because that way you don't have to leave your house. You're in the comfort of your home, and also you're not having a big group over. It could be like one or two friends. You make a dinner together, or you just talk and catch up, watch a movie, and it's super simple. If you find that you're overstimulated, I would try to do like more one-on-one or smaller groups and not like a big thing. Another thing I've been really loving, because there's been so many good movies coming out, is going to the theaters. And this is especially if you want to get out of the house, but you don't necessarily want to socialize too much. And I think the movies are perfect for that, because you go, you sit in silence for 2 hours, and then you can talk a bit, but it doesn't have to be this long thing. If you want to extend it, you can go for dinner before or after, get drinks. You can modify this however you want, but if you're just like not in the mood to talk, but you want to see a friend, go to the movies. Movies are so underrated, although they are so expensive these days. I don't know why, but actually, I do know why. It's probably a dying industry, but I swear I will always be a theater lover. I love going to the movies. So please, for me, go support the movie theaters, because I do not want them to go obsolete. I will be so sad. My last tip is to take advantage of the opportunities winter gives you. You can look at this a few ways. First, winter sports. If you like skiing, tobogganing, skating, those can be so fun. I went skiing a few weeks ago, right before the New Year's. Oh my god, I forgot how fun it was. It is tiring, yes, but just to move your body in a different way and realize that you actually didn't forget how to ski, you just needed a few runs down the hill. 10 out of 10 recommend. You should just like set a date with a friend who wants to go and then commit to it. Beyond winter sports, winter is the best opportunity to finally do all the home things that you wanted to do. Like, you wanted to change out your rug or finally organize that dresser, because you have so much more time inside. And I've been on a home improvement kick, and it has brought me so much joy. I've like weirdly been happy about winter because I've been able to do all this stuff. I got a new dresser because my closet has been overflowing, and I've organized that, and it feels so good to have more space and breathing room. I got a new TV stand because the old one was bothering me for so long, and I finally had the time to sell it on Facebook, buy a new one, assemble it, organize it and it looks so good. I'm so proud. What else did I do? I also got a new mirror for the dresser. I've organized a few things. It has been a great season. I'm getting a new coffee machine soon. I'm someone who gets really amped with home decor and organization because I love my home to feel so cozy and the best that it can feel. So if that's you, take this opportunity to do that. It will bring you so much joy. But if that's not you, there are so many other crafty things that you can do, or movies to catch up on, TV shows, and allow yourself to rot if you want. Like, have slow days, have days where you don't leave your bed, but only if you're also doing the other things throughout the week, like regular exercise, eating well, seeing friends. I think you need to have a balance, but in the winter, there's obviously just gonna be a few more days that you don't feel like doing anything. And that's okay. Just keep in mind that that can't be every day, but embrace the slowness. It's okay. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. The best sign ever is when the time changes again and we've already passed winter solstice. We're on our way up. The days are getting longer. It might be just by a few minutes, but we used to be at like 4 p.m. sunsets. We're at 5. We surpassed the 5 mark. And so there's little glimmers of hope like that that can keep you going. And I'm not much of a complainer, but the one thing I will do is complain about winter. I think it's what Canadians are known for. So if you need to vent it out to somebody, do it with your friends and then laugh about it and have a cute dinner night together. Speaking of Valentine's Day coming up, you could do a cute Galentine's or with your partner. Like, there's way to romanticize winter if you also are into that. And before you know it, we're gonna be defrosting in May. It'll be fine. Wait, my actual last tip, which I should have probably started with, is to just book a flight. If it's in your means to get away from the city and get away from the cold, do that. For me, I told myself every February, I gotta go. I gotta get into the sunshine. And February is the month where I think I'm really over it. Like, January, it's fine. There's a New Year's high. February, I'm like, okay, the winter needs to stop. So I will be going to Miami next month. I've already booked it. It's one of those places that's only a 3-hour flight. It wasn't expensive. I didn't want to go all out somewhere fancy, but I just needed to get in the sun. So that's definitely a big tip if you are able to. Anyways, I'm going to end the episode here because I'm getting hungry. And I think that's all the tips I had to share. Hope you enjoyed. If you found this helpful, informative, and you like the podcast, please DM me, share in your story, and rate 5 stars on Apple or Spotify. And I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.